Yeah. I'm not going to do the lesson in your outlines today. It was long and I just didn't feel like. But we are going to be in Luke chapter 19. I wrote down some notes this morning. I've been up since 3 o'clock. I couldn't sleep. And I was thinking, man, it's Palm Sunday. And I couldn't help but think, this is my dad's first Palm Sunday up there, you know. And like I said, I appreciate your hugs and all that, but he is in heaven. He's not struggling to breathe. He's waving a palm tree right now. I mean, I just really believe that. I hope that they have a reenactment. I hope they're doing that. And because, I mean, it was just funny. I mean, my mind's just weird. I was sitting there thinking, Daddy likes donkeys and stuff. You know, and Jesus is riding in on a donkey and all this. And all I could think about was Palm Sunday. Easter's coming. I got another special reason to celebrate Easter next week. You know, because Jesus rose, Daddy rose. Daddy went with him. And, but anyway, Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30, they believe. And for 3 years, you know, Jesus healed the sick. And for 3 years, the lame walked. He caused the lame to walk, you know, and you know, just for 3 years, it was just miracle after miracle after miracle. And for those 3 years, he taught, you know, people and crowds about the coming kingdom of God. And that's what I want to talk about really today is the kingdom of God. And just a week before this triumphant entry, as church people call it, he just had raised Lazarus from dead. I mean, Lazarus had been in the ground 4 days. You know, can't you imagine the talk? You know, Lazarus dead 3 days. He smelled bad, and Jesus just walks up and he raises Lazarus from the dead. And so the crowd was really pumped up. He was coming to Jerusalem and they done got word. I mean, they're lining the streets, guys. That's why they call this a triumphant entry. When he comes into Jerusalem, I mean, this wasn't a casual stroll that Jesus came in. He didn't just walk up and they knew he was coming. This triumphant entry was Jesus saying, I am the Messiah. I mean, he was saying, I am the anointed one. He's saying, guys, y'all know the one that those prophets talked about for hundreds of years, the Son of God coming. He said, that's me. This was his whole thing. It's me. I'm the one they've been talking about. I'm the guy that the prophets told you about, that they wrote about. I'm him. Let's look at verse 28. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage, I hope I'm saying that right, and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of the disciples, saying, go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you untying it, you shall say this, the Lord has need of it. So those who were sent away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they said, "The Lord has need of it." And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they sat Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." He answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it. He wept over it. I love that verse that says, "Guys, if you don't praise me, the rocks will." Guys, if we don't praise him, the rocks will. Do you want the rocks to praise him? We praise him. But the part I was really wondering about was he wept over the city. They were expecting an earthly king. Jesus said, "I'm not an earthly king." Don't you remember he even told what was his name? Pilate. He told Pilate, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. It's just not of this world." He goes on later to say, "The kingdom of God is within you." Did you know that in each and every one of us, those who belong to Christ Jesus, the kingdom of God is within you? Stacy, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Carlos, he's in you. He said the kingdom of God is righteous, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. You know what the kingdom of God is? The church. The kingdom of God is the church. And that, when Jesus came in on the triumphant entry, I can't even say it, is what he came to establish. The church. You, me, them. Look at Colossians 1:3. You don't have to go to it now. Well, I'll give you a minute to get there. It's a pretty important verse. Let me find it. Colossians 1:13. This is really a good verse. If you ain't got your Bible, I want you to go back to it. I'll let you get there. I won't rush you. I'm not going to be long today. Guys, eat popcorn. That's how I remember it. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Guys, eat popcorn. That's dumb, ain't it? I found it faster than you did. Of course, I had a little marker too, but 1:13 says, "He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son." God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and delivered us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We're not talking about an earthly kingdom. You see, right now, you and I, right now, we are in the kingdom of God. Did you know that Jesus is your king right now? He's my king. As I sat there at the table at 3 o'clock this morning, I said, "He's my king." Right now, Jesus is my king. Today, 11:30, Jesus is your king. Right now. The kingdom of God was never intended to be a physical kingdom. Never. Because physical kingdoms are limited. And they would never be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish. And what Christ had in mind. You see, earthly kingdoms are limited by boundaries. by borders. They're protected by guards and security. As I sat there this morning, I thought, earthly kingdoms are focused on who's in charge. They're focused on who's in charge, the leader or whoever it was. And Jesus didn't come to exercise authority. He didn't come to do that. And I think that's why he wept. Jesus came to serve. That's why we do what we do here. Jesus came to serve, so we come to serve. Jesus' commands were simple. Love God, love one another. He said, be devoted to one another. He said, accept one another. Jesus said to serve one another. Jesus said to bear with one another. I'm going to tell you, and that's really helped me the past day or 12 hours. People have been bearing my burden. The church. Jesus said to be kind and compassionate to one another. You see, the church is not about me. It's not even about you. It's about Jesus Christ and all the people that he came to save. We use that word in church, that he came to save. And guys, when we do church right, Jesus Christ gets all the glory. And that's my goal as your pastor, is that we do church right. That we love God, we love people, and that we're devoted to one another. And that we accept one another. And that we serve one another. I want to do church right. I want to do church right starting today. Well, and I want to tell you about kingdom building. So that's where we're at. It's not about building North Point. It's not about building anything else. It's the kingdom. I want to be kingdom-minded. Most of you know that I've been pastor North Point for nearly 17 years, going on it since 98, October 98. And my dad has never heard me preach. Something happened, and he just got turned off from church. Never heard me preach until Wednesday night. I was talking to a guy about his yard, and he lives in Buckhead, and he wanted me to go cut it. I go over, I said, don't need cutting. I said, I'll bill you, but it don't need cutting. No, I just joking. I said, don't need cutting. But I said, hold on before I let you go. I said, you just lost a dad and a sister. I need to ask you something. I said, what kind of advice could you give me? I said, I think my dad's pretty close to dying. I said, been in the hospital about 5 weeks. I said, what do you think? He said, two things come to my mind. He said, make sure that your dad's right with God, and then make sure your relationship is right with him. I don't know about y'all, but it's hard to minister to your parents, to your family. And I said, okay, okie doke. So I get in my car, and I'm over to see my dad, and Wednesday evening, and I couldn't. My car was filled with this question. You got to ask him. You got to ask him. You going to ask him? I took a left turn. I looked out that window. So you going to ask him? It just seemed like it was a spirit. You better ask him. And so I walk in, and I said, Daddy. I said, the doctor called me, and he wants me to talk to you about some blood thinner issues, and we got to get that kind of resolved. I said, but before we do any of that, my uncle was sitting there, just my uncle and him. I said, we got to resolve something else. I said, a lot of times I always ask you, I said, Dad, are you saved? And I said, I've asked you that twice, and you say, yeah. I said, something tells me I need to know, but something even more tells me that you need to know. And I said, so I got to ask you something. I said, Dad, when I ask you you're saved, I said, that's a church word. You may not know exactly what that is. I said, but here's what I'm asking you when I ask you that. I said, Daddy, have you asked Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins? And have you asked Christ to come into your life and be the Lord of your life? Have you done that? And my dad calls me Sonny. He looked at me with those blue eyes. He said, I don't know, Sonny. And I said, do you want to know? He said, yes, I do. I would like to know. And I said, well, Daddy, let me tell you what's going to happen. I said, at the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I said, he takes everything bad of you that's ever happened to you in these 75 years. He takes all of that and he puts that on the cross. And then everything that's good from him is put on you. That's a heck of a deal, Daddy. That's what's about to happen. And so my uncle was gripping on the side of the bed and I was gripping on the side of the bed. And I said, Daddy, would you repeat this prayer after me? And my uncle was saying, repeat it, Jimmy, repeat it, Jimmy, repeat it, Jimmy. And he was crying and because he knew what was about to happen. I began to pray, and when my dad said, Jesus, forgive me of my sins, it was incredible. It was life-changing. For me, for him, for my uncle. He had the best day the next day. But let me tell you something else that what happened too. I took four steps from the bed as soon as we said amen. I went to write on the board. I don't know what I was writing. But then all of a sudden this thought entered my head. This is going to happen too. This thought entered my head and said, you didn't say the right words. I said, oh, devil, you just lost one. You leave me alone. And I said, in the name of Jesus, you get out of this room. You're no longer welcome here. I ain't heard from him since. Yesterday, my dad never told me he loved me. He did. He loved me, but he never told me until I was 52. The last words that my dad spoke to me was, Sonny, I love you. So don't you feel sorry for me. Life is a vapor. It is okay to die. It's okay to die. But I want to ask you, we're about to have a baptism. And before you have a baptism, you have to ask Christ into your life, or else it's just getting wet. And you can be baptized till you know every frog by first name in Bartow County. But it don't mean nothing if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I want to ask you, do you want to be saved? Do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you do, would you pray with me? My Lord, dear Jesus, would you forgive me of my sins? Would you come into my life and be the Lord of my life and accept me into your family, into the church that you've been building? And Lord, from this day forward, I want to get to know you more and love you more. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I no longer fear dying. It's in your name.